Well, praise the Lord. We sure are glad you're here tonight. I know it were a few in number, but we can be great in the Spirit if we just trust in the Lord, right? It's good to be here tonight. I know some that's not here tonight because they've had some issues happen this afternoon. They're having some problems. And I tell you all the time, we ought to pray one for another because you never know what somebody's going through. And I know some that's going through heartache and pain right now. So be much in prayer one for another, okay? Take your Bibles tonight, go to the book of John, John chapter 1. I kind of sang that song on purpose toward this right at the end there. I'm glad I know who Jesus is because, you know, there are people that don't know him. And to be honest with you, I believe that there's even Christians that don't know him as well as they should. And when I say that, the more that we know Jesus, the more that we know God. And that's what I want to talk about a little bit tonight, about the Word made flesh from John chapter 1. You and I today in our life, we trust in Jesus as our Savior. We trust in Jesus to lead us day by day. We trust in Jesus to do a lot of things for us. And in our class, you know, on the Sunday mornings, we've been talking about the power of God. And the power of God is what it takes to keep us where we are and to give us the things that we need in our life. And I believe that you and I can see the power of God even in the life of Jesus. Here in John chapter 1, I want to read verses 14 through 34 here, and then we'll get to the message. The Word of God says this, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of Him and cried, saying, This was He of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for He was before me. And of His fullness have we all received grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. And this is the record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, Who art thou? And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, What then? Art thou Elias? And he saith, I am not. Art thou that prophet? And he answered, No. Then said they unto him, Who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself? He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Esaias. And they which were sent were of the Pharisees, and they asked him and said unto him, Why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you, whom you know not. He it is whose coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose. Those things were done in Bethabara, beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, that same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptized with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bare record that this is the Son of God. Let's read in John chapter 1. Verses 14 through 34, let's have a word of prayer. Our Father, we are thankful we could be in thy house tonight. I thank you for these people that came out. Lord, I pray you'd bless them and give them a blessing from the Word of God tonight, something that we all can use in our life to be better servants of thine. Lord, I know that what we're going to talk about tonight is nothing new, nothing that these folk haven't heard. But God, it's something we can be reminded of our life. It's something that we can use in our life to make ourselves better Christians for Thee and better people for Thee. And Lord God, I pray this is what we'll do. I pray You be with the pastor tonight, strengthen him, lead and guide and direct in him as You see fit. Be with him as I think he has a part in the funeral tomorrow. Lord, I pray You bless him there and help him. Lord, do comfort the family of the George Short family there tonight. Lord, I do pray You'd bless us, help us to say when we leave here tonight, it's been good to have been in the house of God. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. I want to talk tonight about the Word made flesh. The Word made flesh. Verse 14 says, And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. You and I don't realize what all that really means and what all that really does. But there was a mysterious incarnation and the Word was made flesh. When I say the Word is talking about Jesus Christ is the incarnate Word. Jesus was made flesh, and this was not a phantom, or this was not a spirit. This was not something that was just a body that was used as an illusion or anything like that, but it was a body of flesh, a man. And there's a lot of things we don't understand about that, but I believe that, as we've talked about a lot in our class, that he was 100% God and 100% man. And I can't even explain that, because, you know, 100% to us means all of one thing. How can you be 100% God and 100% man in the same body? But he was. It's something that God did. It's something that God worked out. And God did it in his own way and in his own time. As Pastor Brandon was talking about today, about there's a time for everything. And God sent him in the perfect time. We don't understand that. We don't understand why he came when he did. But let me tell you this, or let me ask you this. Here's what I think. I'm glad I was born after all that, aren't you? You know, to look forward to him coming and not see it back in the Old Testament. Boy, they went through a lot. And you and I go through a lot, but to look back at it and trust in it, I believe, is a little bit easier. Now, maybe I'm wrong, but I don't know, but I believe it's easier to look back at it. I believe it's easier to have it in the Word of God recorded, and it's easier to say that people saw it, and people touched, and people felt him, and people knew he was there. So you and I think it's a little bit easier for us to trust in it and believe in it. But we know that it shows here that he was here on earth in a body. Look at the book of 1 John. 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. John wrote again here. He says, that which was from the beginning. How long is that? Eternity past, right? From the beginning. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, and of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. What is John saying? He was a body. He was physically here. He said, hey, we handled it. We saw it with our eyes. We heard it. We looked upon it. Our hands handled it and touched it. He said, we saw it manifested. So I'm glad that you and I have this recorded. We can look back at it. We can say Jesus Christ was in a body. He was flesh upon this earth. How do we know that he was from the beginning? Look at John 1, verses 1 and 2. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. So if John 14, or 1:14 says, and the Word was made flesh, John chapter 1, verse 1 and verse 2 talks about the Word was in the beginning with God, then we realize this same was from eternity past. Jesus is eternal. We realize that. We recognize that. Let me show you some more verses. Look at John chapter 4. We're going to look at some verses here from the book of John. I just want to hold your place there, but look at these verses in the book of John. John chapter 4, verses 6 and 7 says, now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water, and Jesus said to her, give me to drink. We read in these two verses, it says, Jesus being wearied. Jesus says, give me to drink. What was that saying? I'm thirsty. I'm thirsty. So we see that he was in flesh. He was in a body. He was wearied. He was thirsty. Look at John chapter 11 to realize and recognize that he was in a body. He was had flesh just like you and I. John chapter 11, beginning with verse 33. It says, when Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And said, where have you laid him? And they said unto him, Lord, come and see. And then verse 35 says, Jesus wept. Don't you believe that was a man in a body? Jesus wept. Look at John chapter 19. And I'm just reading a few things and thinking of a few things that I thought of when I thought about this. But John chapter 19, beginning verse 28, says, and after this, Jesus, knowing all things, were now accomplished. This is when he's on the cross. That the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. And when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished, and he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. What does it mean when it says he gave up the ghost? He died. We realize this, but look at John chapter 20. Skip over to verse 24. This is when Jesus reappeared unto them. To the disciples, it said, but Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said unto them, "Except I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger in the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." After 8 days again, the disciples were within, and Thomas was with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, "Peace be unto you." Then saith he to Thomas, "Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing." And Thomas answered and said unto him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus saith unto him, "Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed." Can you imagine being like Thomas when the apostles look at him and say, "You know, the Lord Jesus was here the other day, and you weren't here." Thomas says, "I won't believe it unless I put my hand in his side, unless I thrust my finger through the prints of the nails in his hands," because he had probably seen him hung on a cross. He had seen that horrible death that he died. But he says, "I won't believe it unless I do that." Now, let me ask you this question. This just occurred to me kind of reading it, thinking about it. Who told Jesus that Thomas said that? Jesus went to Thomas and says, "Hey, here I am. Put your hand in here. Touch me." Jesus knew what was said. Jesus knew what went on, didn't he? And Jesus told Thomas. But what I'm saying about here is, here he is, even after the resurrection, he's still in a body. Now, this is a glorified body. It's a little different, but he's still in a body. We don't understand all this, and we don't know all this, but I do believe that it tells us that Jesus was made flesh, and he dwelt among us. Now, let me ask you something. How was he made flesh? Well, we all know this, and I don't want to get into this tonight. I would, but this morning I read that in Luke chapter 1, didn't I? Do you remember Sunday school this morning, most of you that were here? Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38, I read that, about how the angel went to Mary and says, "You're going to have a child." And Mary says, "How am I going to do this? How am I going to do this?" So this birth was a virgin birth, miraculously done by God. And we know that this, all of this that we talk about here, was not an abstract concept of philosophy, but he was a real person. Jesus, a real person, a mysterious incarnation. But look at something else that I want you to see about this. Verse 14 of chapter 1 says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." Dwelt among us. Now let me ask you something. When somebody moves, most time, don't you move up instead of move down? And most time, you want to move to a better place. You want to have a better place than what you had. But here's the Lord Jesus Christ, leaving the portals of heaven, leaving next to the throne of God, and coming down and dwelling on the earth. The Bible says here that he dwelt among us. He had profound humility. Jesus, in his humility, he humbly did what God wanted him to do. It was not just a visit like angels do. It was a voluntary adoption of himself into this place, into this earth, and into the family of humanity. He dwelt on high in pillars of clouds, but yet he descended to the earth to dwell as a man, to dwell as a man. Look at chapter 1 of John, verse 35 through 40. It says, "And again, the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and said unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? And he said unto them, Come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. Did Jesus dwell on the earth as a man? Yes, Jesus dwelt on the earth as a man. The Bible says here that they says, where are you living at? He said, Come and see. And they showed him where he dwelt at, where he stayed, where he resided. You know, that's why a lot of people have a hard time believing and trusting in Jesus. Most of them still think, especially the Jewish religion, right, that he's going to come back and set himself up as a king. He's not going to be like this, but he's going to be king, going to be great. And he is going to come back and be king. Don't get us wrong. But this is the way God designed it. This is the way God set it up, that he dwelt on the earth as a man. Some verses to think about this, and I know you know these, but these are what popped in my mind when I thought about this. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, begin verse 5, says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Did you see those verses that I read? It said, being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Jesus Christ dwelt on this earth as a man. Some verses that I want you to see in the book of Hebrews, chapter 2, verses 6 through 11. This is quoting from Psalm 8, verses 4 through 6. But it says, but one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownedest him with glory and honor, and didst set over him the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet, for in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him, but we see in Jesus, who is made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons into glory, to make the captain their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they that are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Did you see what it said there? He is not ashamed to call them brethren. Jesus knows that he, as God the Son, came to the earth and dwelt among men and made himself as a man and lived and walked among men, and he's not ashamed to call us brethren. Aren't you glad of that today, that Jesus did this? He had a mysterious incarnation, but he had a profound humility that he lived on earth as a man. Then I want you to think about something else here from John chapter 1, verse 18. John 1, 18, it says, no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. There was a divine manifestation. What am I saying? No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, he hath declared him. This word declared here, from what I looked up in the original Greek, it means to explain, to unfold, to lead the way. I believe that Jesus Christ explains God to us. I believe that Jesus Christ interprets God for us. But here's what I'm really glad of too, that Jesus Christ leads us to God. Wow. Can you imagine that? Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the one who was manifested in the flesh, the Word that dwelt from eternity past, made in the flesh, lived among men, dwelt among men, had a divine manifestation of God, and leads us to God. Look at Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. We see here that Jesus is in the image of God here in Colossians. Colossians 1. Verse 15 says, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. It said in verse 15, who is the image of the invisible God. Wow. Jesus Christ is the divine manifestation of God. He shows us who God is, but not only that, like I said, he leads us to God. John chapter 14. I know you know these verses, but begin with verse 6. Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also, and from henceforth you know him and have seen him. Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it suffices us. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet thou hast not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. But look at John chapter 17. Again, in these scriptures, the Lord Jesus Christ is talking about the Father and doing the Father's will. John 17, beginning with verse 1, the Bible says this: These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven. Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all the flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in thee. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through we go. The Lord Jesus Christ many times talked about the Father, and how he was doing the Father's will, and how he was manifesting and showing forth who God the Father is. You and I learn more about God the Father by looking at Jesus Christ and seeing who he is. He is a reflection of God. He shows forth God, and he does manifest him and shows him forth. One more thing I'll mention, and we'll close. But back in John chapter 1, and verse 14 and verse 17, the Word of God says something that I want you to think about. John 1:14 says, And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Look at verse 17. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ was full of grace and truth. The Lord Jesus Christ brought grace and truth. It says, came by Jesus Christ. He provided salvation. He provided salvation. Look at John chapter 6. Verse 35-40. And Jesus said unto them, John 6:35, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is my Father's will, which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Jesus Christ came to this world, I believe, through a divine manifestation. He shows forth God the Father. I believe that he provides salvation, and this shows us that it's the Father's will for him to do this. I read that verse, and I put emphasis on verse 38 where it says, For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose part of it. Is that what it says? No. It says I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. I'm glad that you and I can put our faith and trust in Jesus. The work that he's done, the things that he's done, how he manifested himself on this earth, how he, as God, came as a baby, born into the world, lived approximately 33 and a half years upon this earth, died on the cross of Calvary, but yet he manifested and showed forth to us who God is, and he provided the salvation that we needed in our life. And verse 16. 1 Timothy 3:16 says, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, praise God for that, believed on in the world, praise God for that, and then it says received up into glory." Wow. The Lord Jesus Christ, He came to this earth, but He didn't just come, did He? He had reasons. He had a purpose. And He performed all of those things that He needed to do. And the Bible tells us that Jesus even said, "Father, I'm going to leave this world, but I want you to protect those that are still in the world." Was that praying for you and I? Sure. Praise the Lord. Praise God. And I'm glad that we can read this verse. It talks about Him being manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up in the glory. What does that received up in the glory give us? Boy, it gives us hope, doesn't it? That this life, there's more beyond than what we have here. And aren't you glad of that today? Praise God. I hope you got something out of the Word of God today. You know, like I said, it's nothing new. It's just something we need to be reminded once in a while that, hey, Jesus did these things for us. Let's be thankful and let's praise Him this Christmas season and worship Him and let other people around about us know who He is. Let's close in prayer. Our Father, I thank You, Lord, for the Word of God today. I thank You that You show forth, the Lord Jesus shows forth to us who God is. And I pray that we'll look, we'll be checking, we'll be looking into these things and looking to see who God is. And Lord, in doing that, we'll make ourselves to be better people for Thee. I believe that. Lord, bless this church. Help this people. Lord, I pray You be the pastor and his family. Comfort them during this time of need with a funeral and a death going on. Lord, I pray You'd bless them. Lord God, help us to be Thy people this week, showing forth to the world who You are. Help us to come back to the house of God at the appointed hour. Let Thy will be done. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.